We're going to talk about the mechanics of working together in a family. And the first thing you think about is setting limits. This is a man and his wife sitting down to decide what the limits are going to be. They ought to be as few as possible. And really, when you stop to think about it, say you have preschool children, there aren't really many limits involved. You decide when bedtime is, you decide when you eat, you decide what you're going to do about the toys, and there's not much more to it than that. It's really not that complicated. The complex part is for you and your partner to agree on what they are, that's all. And I agree, they ought to be as few as possible. Now, the thing you got to face when you set a limit is that the people that are affected will resist that limit. For instance, let me give you an illustration. We had a rule at our house when our children were smaller that whenever you finish playing with the toys, you pick them up and put them away. Now, that sounds simple enough, doesn't it? Well, I came home from work one day, and we had one of the neighborhood children over to our house, and she had blocks all over the living room. And that's fine. We enjoyed having the neighborhood children over, and it was fine for them to be playing with the blocks. But this child announced, "I'm going home." And I said, "Well, you have to pick up the blocks first." See, our limits apply to anybody's kids that came around. They were the Brandt limits at our house. This little child said, "I won't pick up the blocks." Well, now, what do you do when a little child won't? Now, here's a very simple principle for all of you to try out. You help them. Now, she needed help, and she needed a lot of help. What kind? Well, you see, when I told her she had to pick up the blocks, she headed for the closet to get her coat. So I had to catch her in order to help her, and dragged her back into the living room. And she was kicking and screaming and saying, "Leave me alone!" See, she needed help. Now, what she did not need at that point was a lecture on respect for adults. All I needed to do was quietly help her. And so with my hand in hers, we started picking up blocks. You see, I wasn't doing it for her now. I was helping her. And she was saying, "Leave me alone, I'll do it myself." That's okay. So I left her alone. And as soon as I let go, she took off for the closet. That's resistance. See? So I had to go and get her and drag her back into the living room and keep helping her. Finally, she said, "Leave me alone, I'll do it myself." And this time, she just stood there watching me do it. That's no good, you see. I wasn't going to do her job for her, but I was willing to help her. So with my hand in hers, we picked up the blocks. And when we were finished, she looked up at me, and she said, "I'm going home, and I'm going to tell my mother on you. And I am never, ever going to come back." And she gave me one final dirty look, and away she went. Now, do you know, that little girl liked to play at our house. Her mother described her this way. She said, "We are raising a juvenile delinquent." And all the rest of us on the block agreed. She was a nasty kid. But she did like our house. Now, what she would do on the sidewalk, for instance, if she wanted a tricycle, she'd knock the kid off the tricycle and say, "Give me the tricycle." That's the way she was. Now, at her house, she couldn't find any boundaries. If she yelled loud enough, or if she cried long enough, if she made herself obnoxious enough, long enough, she could always end up getting what she wanted. Now, that poor little kid was lost. It's as though you walk up to a wall and lean up against the wall and the wall collapses. Now, that would make you pretty uneasy, wouldn't it? That poor little girl couldn't find any boundaries at her house. And that's why she liked our house, because there were boundaries there. Now, that's what little children need. They need limits. They really need limits. Fair, reasonable, as few as possible, and what the limits should be the considered united judgment of a man and his wife. And whenever you set limits, you can expect the people affected to resist those limits. Now, I'm a businessman. We have a bunch of employees, about 300 employees in our business. And we have, among those people, 22 employees who don't work. They don't work at all. You know what their job is? Their job is to make sure that the rest of the people work. Do you realize that it takes 22 people to make the rest of those people work? Now, mind you, we're not talking about children. We're talking about people that we pay. They agreed to do a certain kind of a job. Now, you don't expect people, when you hire them, to just go ahead and do the job. Any of you that work, you expect to have a supervisor, don't you? Now, why? When can you tell an individual, when can you come to an agreement with a person that they will do a particular thing and you can expect them to do it without checking up on them? It doesn't happen. Anybody that's in the business world, anybody that wants something done, knows that you have to have supervision. Because people, why? Tend to go where? Their own way. That's what it says in Isaiah 53:6. It says, all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We'll stray away from our own limits. And we have gone, everyone, unto his own way. Now, you can see that tendency to go your own way full-blown and very obvious in little children. And little children will test your limits. I was in an airport one time, and in wandered this big lady. She was as wide as this thing, and tall, 6 feet. She came waddling in with this little bitty preschool child. And that child really looked small beside that lady. And she eased herself into one of those airport chairs. And the little child started wandering away, and this lady had a kind of a deep bass voice, and she said to that child, you come back here. That child didn't pay any attention to that great big lady, kept wandering away, and the lady said, come here, I said. That child felt perfectly secure. That big lady wasn't about to budge out of that chair. Now, there are a lot of us realize that, do we not? And in the business world, we have a term that says the employee will do what the boss inspects, not what he expects. Now, it's the same way in parent-child relations. The child will do what you inspect, not what you expect. You can expect your children to resist you. You know, when our children were small, we had to make a choice whether we would raise grass or children in our backyard. And we decided that we'd raise children instead of grass. And you know what? We discovered that if you want children in your backyard, you won't have much competition. And the neighbors, they weren't competing for the children. And so quite often, there they were in our backyard. And we liked that because then we knew where our children were and we could keep an eye on them. Well, you know, I was standing there one day watching these children play in the backyard. And across the ether waves comes this voice. There's one of these, I suppose, in every neighborhood. And it sounded something like this. Johnny! And Johnny kept right on playing. And the second time and the third time comes this voice, a cry. Everybody in the neighborhood could hear it. One of the kids even said, "Hey, Johnny, don't you know your mother's calling you?" And he said, "I don't need to go yet." And then pretty soon you hear this voice, "Johnny!" And away he went. You see, his mother had two voices. And he knew perfectly well that when his mother used that first voice, she wasn't about to do anything about it except make a lot of noise. Now, a lot of children realize that if we can adjust to mother's screaming, we can do anything we want. Now, children don't need to be yelled at. Children need to be helped. Like I've had mothers say to me, "How do you get your children to go to bed?" And I say, "Well, what do you do?" And they say, "Well," I say, "wouldn't you like to go to bed now?" You know, you don't want to order them, do you? Kids don't like to be ordered, so you want to make them want to. And so you say, "Wouldn't you like to go to bed?" And the answer is inevitable, isn't it? No. Now, how do you get a child to bed? Well, the simplest way that I know is to scoop her up and plunk her into bed. You see, that's help. Now, you can beg these little children, and as long as you want to beg, they'll let you beg. I said to a lady one time, or she asked me, "How do you get a small child dressed?" Here's this big lady and his little child. And what she would do in the morning would be to approach the little child and say, "Don't you want to put your dress on?" And a little child looks up at that big lady and says, "No!" You know, I think sometimes these little kids get a real big kick out of what happens to these big ladies. So she said, I say to the little girl, "If you put the dress on, you can have some breakfast." "I don't want any breakfast." "Well, if you put the dress on, you can play with these toys." "I don't want to play with any toys." Now, how do you get a dress on this little girl? Well, of course, I'm a pro and I should know these things. Stuff her into it. You know, it just saves you all kinds of trouble, all kinds of time. What the child needs is a little help, that's all. And now you see what I'm saying. If you don't understand human nature, and what is human nature like? All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. And we have gone, everyone, unto our own way. That's the most normal, natural thing there is to want to do something the way you want to do it. Now, if you're going to have something done, that is, the child is that way too. That child wants to do what that child wants to do. And they're persistent, really persistent. I think I used this illustration once before. I want to use it again about our son. we had a rule that said, before you come down in the morning, make your bed. And just as sure as morning came, he'd come bounding down the stairs, and he'd hit the bottom step, and you'd hear my wife call out, Dick! Yep. Did you make your bed? Nope. Then go on upstairs and make your bed. And he'd plod upstairs to make his bed. How long do you have to tell a fella to make his bed before he does it automatically? 20 years. We often said if that fella ever got that kind of persistence directed in a positive way, he'd sure go places. And it turned out that way, too. Well, you see, that's why you have to supervise people in a business. How long do you supervise people? As long as you have your business open. How long do you have to help people overcome resistance? You see, that's no problem to you if you are willing to accept the fact of resistance. And that's just the way it is. If you have the responsibility for getting something done, then it's a matter, first of all, of setting the limits. And that's a job for you and your partner to agree on. Setting the limits. And then you spend the rest of your time helping your children overcome their resistance to those limits. How do you get them to want to keep the limits? I don't know. That's not our job. What limits do they want to keep? That's not the question. The question is, what in your judgment, in your considered judgment between you and your partner is in the best interests of your children, and what are the reasonable limits that have to be carried out? And they should be reasonable according to your judgment and not according to theirs. I had one lady say to me, how do you get your children to do something that you want them to do without getting mad at them first? And I asked her to give me an illustration. Well, she had a 10-year-old daughter. And this lady would, her job was to wash the dishes. And these were the days when you still had milkmen. I'm sure some of you don't even remember that, do you? And the first thing that she would do would be to wash the milk bottles and put them on the dish drainer. And then the little girl's job was to take those milk bottles and take them out on the porch. And the mother would call out, the milk bottles are ready. Real nice. And what happened? Nothing. And she'd call out again, the milk bottles are ready. Nothing happened. The milk bottles are ready. No child. Did you hear me? The milk bottles are ready. No child. She said, by then I'm so mad. I wipe my hands on my apron. I go out into that living room and I say, you get out there and take those milk bottles out on the porch. And then she does it. Now, why? How do you get her to do it without getting so mad at her first? And I said, lady, do me a favor. Tomorrow night, when you wash the milk bottles, would you call out just as nice as you know how, the milk bottles are ready, and then go after her. You know, that was one of the most surprised kids. Imagine an adult meaning what they say when they're in a good mood. Now, you see, all that had happened here is that this little girl had discovered that mother isn't serious until she's fighting mad. And so you don't really need to pay attention to her until then. Now, this is just as normal and natural as it can be, this matter of dealing with the resistance of your children to certain limits. Now, obviously, your children aren't going to resist all your limits. I can remember at our house, my son, we didn't have any trouble at all with him about keeping the car clean. He wanted to keep the car clean. In fact, he was on my back. Dad, you should take better care of the car. Now, you don't have to do this with all limits, but you do have to do it with the limits that your children don't particularly care about. Now, whose decision is it what the limits will be? It's yours and your partner's, not your children. Now, I am well aware of the fact that what I am telling you goes crosswise with what you're accustomed to reading. And nowadays, you see so many children who are allowed to chart their own course and set their own limits and do what they want. And they get so used to their mothers yelling and screaming at them. And I hear parents say, these children nowadays won't listen to you. How do you get these children to want to do something? The psychologists tell me that we should get our children to want to do things. We shouldn't frustrate them. And our children won't do it. You know, those kind of people that give you that kind of advice, they don't know what the Bible says. You're not listening to a fellow that understands biblical principles. And these things that I am telling you, any of you that have children, you know exactly what I am talking about, don't you? Children tend to go their own way. Where do they get that from? Obviously from their mothers. Because their mothers are that way. And their fathers. And where did they get it from? From their mothers and from their fathers. This is one of the normal, natural characteristics of a human being that traces it, and you can trace it all the way back to the beginnings of the scriptural writings. That's been the issue between men and women. That's been the issue. This is one of the reasons why we have so much difficulty in marriage these days. You've got a woman who wants what she wants, and you've got a man who wants what he wants. And when you put them together, there comes a time when it is inevitable that you can't both have what you want. Isn't that true? For example, if you sleep in the same bedroom, how high will you raise the window? How cool will that bedroom be? You see, you got to get together on that one. That is, if you want to stay in the same bedroom. And how many people have found that this is an issue? If you have a given amount of money to spend, how are you going to spend it? You've just got a given amount of money. You see, you've got to get together on that. And any of you know that it doesn't take you very long to get at cross purposes with your partner. Now, that same tendency to go your own way becomes very clear and very obvious in your small children. Isn't that right? All you need to do is set a limit, and you can experience people's resistance to that limit. And this applies to small children, and this applies all the way up to anybody that you are responsible for what they do. And so any of us that understand that principle, if you'll simply accept the fact of helping your children. One lady was saying this to me, how do I get my daughter to stay home? I say to my daughter, I do not want you to go out tonight, and she walks right past me and out she goes. You just can't do anything for these kids these days. They won't listen to you. What do you do? Well, I think the solution is very simple. Get between her and the door. You see, you need to help her stay home. That's all. Now, you don't expect her to jump up and down with glee. Your responsibility is not to keep that child happy. Your responsibility is to guide that child in the way that it should go according to your judgment, and your judgment is not necessarily going to be understood by your child. I've heard people say, well, your children would obey if you would explain to them why you want them to do what you ask. If you've ever had any teenage children, have you ever tried to explain to them why it's in their best interests to stay home tonight? Listen, they could care less about your reasons. What they want to know is, how can I get out? And the smarter they are, the more ingenious they're going to be to try to do what they want to do. What do they need? They need a good-humored mother who appreciates the contest and enjoys it. They need a good-humored father who's backing her up. And all they really need to know is that if I don't like what mother asks me, I'm going to ask dad, and that child needs to know that he's going to get the same answer from dad. That's security. What these children need is a couple of good-humored parents who love their children enough and believe in them enough that you're going to give them whatever help they need in order to do what in your judgment is best for them.